Dance Network's The Bartender is a podcast where your host, Liberty Kogan, speaks with top-tier professionals and enthusiasts in the dance industry. You can hear past episodes anytime at thebartender.tv. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Isn't there a theme song?
Yeah. From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he need?
How many people does he need?
Hey there, dancers. My name is Liberty Kogan, and I am on, how do you say, a quest for the most inspiring, interesting, and stimulating dance stories out there. So pull up a stool, grab a cocktail, and settle in for another episode of Dance Network's Bartender. Today's guest is a mere 15 years old, but has been recognized internationally as a dancer, actress, and just a plain old cutie patootie. Currently playing the role of Piper in the hit Canadian teen dance series The Next Step, Alexandra Shaves is magnetic on screen, not only due to her incredible dance skills, but also because of her fierce acting chops. She's been awarded numerous titles at dance competitions around the world, including Dance Network's newest partner and world-renowned competition circuit Star Dance Alliance. I can't imagine having so much talent at such a young age, and I can't wait to hear what this young lady has to say. So, Alexandra, welcome to Bartender.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am great. How are you doing this January day?
Great.
So, Alexandra, you are our third international call, which I'm super excited about. I feel so cosmopolitan. So you are calling from Canada today. And
yes.
What is the weather up there like right now in January?
Oh, it's very cold. Actually, later today, I'm going out to skate. It's like maybe the -5.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
That is crazy
it's good.
Cold.
I just came back from a trip in Miami. So actually, I'm pretty sad missing the warm weather. But
yeah, that's a big change from Miami to Canada. And where in Canada exactly are you?
I'm about an hour away from Toronto.
Okay.
A town called Cape. And my dance studio is like half an hour away. So that's basically like where I live, Cambridge and Kitchener.
Oh, cool. Yes, I've been to Toronto before, but I was there in the summertime, and it was crazy. I mean, I was there in July. It was crazy hot, but I don't know if I could spend a winter there. I don't know how you guys do it. I got to give you mad props.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool. We got our heavy Canada Goose jackets on.
So yes.
We're prepared.
Okay, well, good. So now, Alexandra, you're only 15, so you're still in school. How do you balance your school, you know, outside of dance life, all of your academics, everything that you're doing outside of the show?
Well, I give credit to dance because that, like dancing every day after school, I have to manage my time wisely to
yeah.
fit both schoolwork and dance and everything. So because of dance, I've learned time management skills and I'm able to complete my schoolwork. While I'm filming, though, I do online school and that's really helpful. And if you're independent, you can get the work done. It's really great. But then when I'm not filming, I go to regular school, I get my work done, and I'm an honor roll student. So I really value education.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that like the education, and I also get to do things outside of that, acting and dancing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you a really academic person? Do you really enjoy things, you know, that are outside of dance that are just school oriented?
Yeah, no, I totally am. Both my parents, are in the science field. They
oh,
definitely
wow.
want education. It's funny because they don't have any arts in them at all. And so they obviously stress the importance of school, and I value it a lot, and I'm really grateful that I have both that. I value education, but I also can balance acting and dancing, my other passions.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite subject in school?
It's hard because right now, I love science because my parents love it. That kind of has been passed on. But I do love math and I love history. And it's kind of confusing because right now, like, whoa, like, what do I want to do? there's so many different paths. And of course, there's dance and acting as well.
Yeah. So you say both of your parents are in the science field. What do they do specifically?
My dad is an audiologist, so an ear doctor.
Okay.
And my mom is a nuclear medicine technologist.
Oh, wow.
So one works in an office. Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, they love helping me with my science homework. And that's a big, like, when I was younger, not as serious about dance, science was a big part of what I thought my future would be.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. And once we get in later on, I had an experience where I've been inspired to perhaps be a cardiologist. But we'll get into that later, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I was watching this super cute questionnaire video of you on YouTube where, like, the Next Step asked you, like, 20 questions about yourself. And you said that you had to choose between hockey and dance. And first of all, I don't know a lot of young ladies that are interested in hockey. Is that a popular sport up there for Canadian kids?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Basically, like, when you're 3 years old, your parents put you in a few different things. So for me, my parents put me in dance, gymnastics, which didn't last that long.
Yeah.
A little scary. Hockey and soccer.
Okay.
And then soccer fell off and I was stuck with like hockey or dance. And hockey were those early mornings at the rink. And then dance was like fun dance. And I remember my parents were like, oh, Alex, you know, you should do hockey because they didn't know anything about dance.
Okay.
They didn't know the opportunity could arise. So they're like, oh, you should do hockey. But I was firm on sticking with dance. And I think I might have been like 8 or 9 when I made the decision that, no, I'm doing dance. And I was actually, apparently, I was a pretty good hockey player. I was going to be on like the trout, I forget what it's called, like the pretty, like the Cambridge youth team.
Okay.
But dance filled my heart.
Yeah. Well, I know Canadians take their hockey very seriously. And it's really interesting to hear of, you know, a girl that's involved with dance that also did hockey. That's pretty awesome, first of all. I'd be way too scared to try it because I'm a big, huge wimp. But that's super cool. And so do you have any siblings, Alexandra?
Yes, I have a younger sister. She's 9 years old, and she also does competitive dance.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask if anyone else in your family did what you do.
Yeah. We both go to the same studio, and she does very similar to what I did when I was her age. She has like 8 competitive dances, a solo, but she likes tap more. And I was never a big tap fan, but she loves that. And she also loves The Next Step, and she loved the show even before I was on it.
Yeah.
So she's proud. She's adorable. I love her.
Oh, she must look up to you like crazy, being on like her favorite show and, you know, doing what you love. Yeah. I'm sure she loves it.
Yeah, she does. It's funny though. Like sometimes I try to critique her, you know, help her out with her solos and stuff, but she does not want help. Like, no, I got this. I got it. I'm good.
She's like, listen, that's pretty funny. She doesn't want your help.
I know. And if I was her, I had an older sister that danced, I would love their help. I would bug them all the time about it.
Right. Okay, so you've been dancing your entire life, Alexandra, and again, I know you're only 15, but still, that's a long career. So when did you start getting into dance competitions?
I was 7 when I started competing.
Okay.
And I was actually offered to at a younger age, but my parents were kind of cautious. They weren't really sure what competitive dance was. They waited till I was 7, and then I moved to a larger studio when I was 8 years old. And that's when I started really like improving and realizing like, whoa, you can dance and you can really be great at this. And then it just went from there. And then recently a lot of dancers have started getting dance agents and doing music videos and all this stuff. I started seeing that and then I was inspired to get an agent and so forth. And now I have the Next Step.
Yeah. Now competition dance is huge in the US and there's, I know, a lot of circuits here. Are there a lot of just strictly Canadian competition circuits?
Yeah, we're really grateful. We have really good ones. There's like Terps Decree, Candance, and I know they have expanded to the U.S., a few of them, but there's some really great local ones, and I'm friends with a lot of the competition directors, and then they're great. There's full Canadian competitions.
Yeah, and I'm super curious, as a Canadian, obviously, you're able to enter dance competitions outside of Canada, but are there a lot of rules as far as, you know, travel and things like that, things that you really need to be hyper aware of when doing competitions outside of Canada?
Well, like the longest competition that I've done in the US is like a week long.
Okay.
And that's just like a vacation in Florida kind of thing. So then we go back. There's never been limitations to like how long, because usually those competitions, like Star Power and stuff, 5 days, and then I go home. I've never found the limitations.
Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. I'm always interested in how like travel things work. Love what you're hearing? Listen to more episodes of The Bartender only on thebartender.tv and see who's coming up next week.
Hey guys, this is Kevin Fry. You may have seen me on My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, The Voice, America's Got Talent, and countless performances with Lady Gaga, including the Super Bowl 51 halftime show. So if you want to go goo-goo for Gaga, join me in Liberty next Sunday on Dance Network's Bartender.
If music is the universal language of life, then dance is the passion. But as we looked around the world, we couldn't find one place where all that passion of dance was being represented. So leaders from across the industry have now come together to form the Dance Network, to bring everything dance to the world. We're the Dance Network.
Join the movement. Sign up now for free at dancenetwork.tv.
I'm chatting with Alexandra Chaves this week on Dance Network's Bartender. So let's get back to it. So you mentioned Star Power and Star Dance Alliance. So Dance Network has recently teamed up with Star Dance Alliance, which we are super excited about. And you've competed in a lot of their competitions. So tell me what that is like. What sets Star Dance Alliance competitions apart from other competitions that you've done?
Star Dance Alliance is like a huge family. Every time I go there, they're always so welcome. And I love how they stress the point about that competition is not about winning. It's really about the opportunity to perform and to dance with your dance team. That's like the main thing that drives me towards going to those competitions, because it's really about being a team and performing.
Right.
They get all these different variety of awards that no other competition offers, that are unique and give you different opportunities. For example, Power Pack. That's something that Star Power and the Star Dance Alliance has. And that's an opportunity, a week-long training with all these amazing choreographers. And it's really an opportunity that sets them apart. Also, the World Dance Pageant, that is a total pageant experience with interviews and classes. And it really kind of shows you to a whole different world of competitive dance that I wasn't aware of before. And different experiences, interviewing, taking class. And from Star Power, I've made connections with Merida Davis, Tokyo, all these really amazing choreographers that I'm so grateful to have worked with.
Yeah.
So, one of a kind, Star Dance Alliance, one of a kind, and I'm really grateful to have found them and be able to go to their competitions. And they have competitions in Toronto, so I get to go to those every year, and those are amazing.
Yeah. So how do their competitions differ from other ones that you've done? Like, you used a great word that it's very, very family oriented, and it's very, you know, not about the competition and the cutthroat aspect of it. Do you see a lot of differences in other comps?
Other competitions, first of all, the only awards that they have are first, second, and third.
Right.
And that's the only focus. And as a competitive dancer, it's like, if you are competing in those kind of atmospheres all the time, that's all you focus on. And it's kind of unhealthy. Like, it's not all about winning. And it takes a while. Like, you know, sometimes you're a lot older when you realize that. But if you go to Star Power and the Star Dance Alliance, they do not focus on that. They focus on getting opportunities as a dancer, improvement in your dance, not just with like competing, but with Power Pack and all these different opportunities outside of the competitive world as well.
Right.
And also recognizing hard work, and because these Power Pack opportunities and these other opportunities that they give out aren't for the people that got first place or second or third or whatever. It's just people that they recognize have potential, and it's giving people amazing opportunities. One of my friends, she didn't get first, second, or third, but she got an amazing opportunity to go to Power Pack and go to Florida and assist. And she is a changed dancer. She's amazing, and she gives recognition to Star Power and Star Dance Alliance for that.
Yeah, no, that's very cool of them, that it's not just all about the trophy and getting your name called at the end, which I feel like is very healthy, especially for young dancers. You know, you don't want to have too much pressure on yourself, or you don't want it to ever be not enjoyable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Gary Pate is the CEO of Star Dance Alliance. Have you ever met Gary?
Yes, multiple times.
Yeah.
I've gone to Florida for their nationals, and I've seen him at other competitions across the U.S. He's awesome, and I am friends with his daughter, Jada, amazing dancer. And they just the whole family there. Jill Wallens is one of the teachers, and
mm-hmm.
she's so inspiring. Yeah, if you ever get a chance to go down there, you have to take class with Jill.
Yeah, because she's a former Rockette.
Yes.
Yes, I've met Jill. Yes. She came to our to where we're based in Nashville a couple months ago with Gary. And yes, that whole team, they're just the sweetest, most motivated, hardworking people that they really, truly care about every single dancer and every single family member of every dancer. And I'm sure you don't see that very often.
No. And they're really good friends with my dance teacher, too. And she loves them. That's why we always go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about Next Step. So again, another YouTube video that I watched, which was your reaction video to your first audition for Next Step, which was it so crazy to watch yourself in your first audition?
It's crazy because all you can think about at that audition time is how like, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect. You know, there's so much thing going through my head.
Yeah.
And going back, okay, that hard work that I put in there and where I am, and that was only a year later, where I am now, like it totally paid off. And it's really cool to see like how much has changed in the last year. And it's because I worked hard for it. And
of course.
To appreciate it and look back and like, wow, look how far I've come. It's really amazing. And it was really fun, especially with my best friend on the show. We got to do that video together.
Yes. Oh my gosh. She's so cute. I would be best friends with her too, if I could. What is the biggest change that you've seen in yourself, or kind of like the biggest growth that you've seen in yourself since getting involved with the Next Step?
Good question. I think there's a lot of different things. I was a confident dancer before, but having an outlet where like outside of the competitive atmosphere, like, whoa, like my hard work throughout all these years has paid off in a different way. It makes me more confident dancer. I think improv, actually, like more specifically to like the dance part.
Yeah.
The Next Step is a lot of improv. And so I've had to really expand my creativity and find different ways, like different tricks and different styles. I was a hip hop dancer, but the Next Step is a lot of hip hop. So working on that and improving on that, that's improved my confidence in hip hop. And recently, a lot of the dancers on the show are acro based. So it's pushed me to try to do more acro. So I got my aerial and I'm working towards getting other things. So that's definitely improved my, like a sense of taking risks in different genres, like acro and hip hop have definitely improved. And I'm really grateful that the Next Step has given me like an outlet where I can like just try new things. And all those dancers there, like Offset and like between takes, are always trying new stuff and new tricks. That inspired me to go out of my comfort zone to do different stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you told this amazing story in your audition and obviously in that reaction video, when at your audition, the casting people asked you why you dance. Can you give a brief little synopsis of that story that you told?
It's a long story, but long story short, I had just come off a great summer. This is when I went to Star Power and World Dance Pageant,
mm-hmm.
and I got first runner-up World Dance Pageant and Miss Teen or Miss Junior Star Power, and I was just loving it, like, it's a taste of success. And then it was September 11th, I was getting my tonsils out, and this is, like, a routine thing. My mom had it done. It shouldn't have been a problem. But then when I woke up, I heard them say like, oh, well, she's a dancer. I'm like, what? And they had the crash cart out.
What?
What's happened? Yeah. And they found out that I had an irregular heartbeat and arrhythmia.
Okay.
And I never felt anything before. And everyone around me was like panicking. Like, my throat hurts. That's all. Like, I'm fine.
So this was after your surgery, after you got your tonsils out?
Yeah. So like when I woke up.
Okay.
And So I was hospitalized for a week, and they were trying to figure out, like, what is this arrhythmia? Has she had it her whole life? What's happened? And they found out, like, I've had it my whole life, but I've never noticed anything. And it's, like, a crazy arrhythmia. Like, it scared them. They thought I was going to have a heart attack. But I live with it every day, and I've danced with it.
Yeah.
It's normal for me, and it's surprising because no doctor's ever noticed it.
Well, exactly. That's the weird part, that you didn't – no one told you this until you were – I think you said you were 12 years old when you got the surgery?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So, of course, the doctors are scared, and they're like, you can't dance. Like, this is scary. This could get worse. And, of course, they don't understand how important dance was to me or how important it is. And they're like, yeah, sorry. Like, it'll be fine. Like, it's fine. But they did not realize, and it bugged me because no one understood how important dance was
to
me. And so eventually, this is actually getting to be a long story. But
that's okay. I love it.
Okay. At first, I was like, no, I'll get back to dance. I'll be fine. Like, I still had hope. I was young, and I didn't really believe the doctors. I knew I'd be back at dance. But a few months into it, 3-4 months, I was convinced that I would never dance again. They told me you're not going to be able to do any physical activity. Like, I'm sorry, it's over.
And throughout your entire life dancing, you had never, first of all, you didn't know that you had this, but you had never felt any kind of pain, or you'd never been affected by this at all?
Never, ever.
That's so weird.
It's weird. And my whole life has been dance, and I never really knew life without it.
Right.
So to live, I ended up month-ish not dancing, and those, like, I don't know what I did with my life. Like, I just had homework, but it was so weird not to be with my dance friends, not to go to competitions. And like, at first I would go to dance class and like be like, yeah, like, I'm gonna be in these dance numbers, so I would go to dance class every day. But then slowly, a few months after, and I was like, no, I lost hope. I'm not gonna be in these dances, so I didn't show up to dance anymore. And they took me out of the dances, and it was really sad because all my friends were at dance. Like, this is my life.
Yeah. So what led you back into dance? Was there something specifically that happened, or were the doctors like, you're okay to dance now?
So I had this one, like, it's called an ablation. So I had like a surgery procedure, I guess they call it, and it was not successful. Then I did it again. This was April. I had another procedure, and they figured out this heart arrhythmia was safe and I could dance again. And I remember waking up, and like, I was still on the anesthesia, so I was a little...
Like, a little loopy.
I can dance again. And then that weekend, I saw my friends dance at a dance competition. Like, yes, I can do this. Then, of course, I kind of think, I've been off for 6 months. That's a lot of time that I've missed.
Yeah.
My friends are like, my whole team is a lot stronger than they were 6 months ago. Like, I feel like I'm so behind, so stressed. And that's when, like, I remember being so upset. Like, I would never be able to dance like I used to dance. And then 2 weeks later, I did my first dance competition, and I learned a few dances with my team. And I actually ended up being Miss Teen Revolution.
Oh my gosh. 2 weeks later.
Yes. Ah. Yeah. And it was amazing. And, you know, even if I didn't win anything, it was so positive and so enjoyable to be back on stage. I remember I did a ballet dance that same competition, and I totally like half failed the entire thing. But I was just laughing about it. And like a year before, I would have been crushed. Oh, I messed up. But this year, I was so happy to be on stage that it didn't matter.
Right.
And that whole story was that I really, truly realized that I love to dance. And it's not about competition. It's not about that. It's about loving to perform and not being able to live without it.
So looking back now, are you glad that you went through that experience?
That's a good question, because like, I could have learned that I love dance that much without having to go through 6 months of not dancing. But
right.
I am glad that this happened, because it showed me a whole other perspective of dance that I wouldn't have really been able to see without it.
Yeah.
And all, I'm grateful, because during this time that I was off, I got a talent agent and I started acting. And because of that, and then I went back to dance, I had acting and dance, and then I got the next step. So everything worked out. It was a hard way to go, but I'm grateful.
Yeah.
That I learned.
And Alexandra, I saw on your YouTube channel that you also do a lot of your own choreography, which is super cool. And a lot of the subject matter that you tackle in your choreography, I watched this one video that was from 2013, so 4 years ago now, and you had choreographed this piece, and you're teeny tiny, you're so adorable, and it was about people struggling with mental illness. What prompted you to take on such heavy subject matter at such a young age?
Yeah, I've always really been aware of different important things in life. So mental health, like human rights, all that different stuff I'm really passionate about. And I remember, this is a while ago, but there's this actress that was talking about mental health on the radio. I remember hearing about it. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. And I listened to music and I started just making a dance to it. And I thought, hey, let's try to do this. And my best friends are in that video. We did this at a workshop in Toronto, and I choreographed it. And I don't know, I guess something just sparked in me that, like, hey, like, not a lot of people know about this, like the different struggles of mental health. So let's try to tell a story through what I know best. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing that you were able to, first of all, comprehend something like that at such a young age, and then to really put your own artistic ability behind it is just incredible. And like you said, you're obviously very passionate about social issues, things like equality and, you know, justice. How did you become so involved in all of these big issues? And what are you doing on a personal level to help in any way that you can, if anything? I know you're very busy.
Honestly, I got to give credit. My school was really great with the social justice group, and we talked about these issues. I think I joined that when I was in grade 4 until grade 8.
Okay.
So we learned about things like mental health, poverty, all this different stuff that, like, was really, like, showed me how grateful I am. And right now, something that's just super easy that everyone should do is on, like, Twitter and all this different stuff, just retweet stuff and, like, make people aware of the things that are happening around the world. Because, like, I even find myself today stressing about homework, but there's people around the world that are struggling with so much greater things, and we have to be grateful and we have to do as much as we can. So, like, we are part of, like, my family's part of World Vision, so we have sponsored children that we sponsor around the world. So different things like that, or even, you know, at the smallest level, promoting it on social media, that's just a great way to get people aware of what's happening around the world.
Yeah. And do your passions for all of these issues, do they really inspire your dance and your choreography?
Yeah, I actually, now that you mentioned the choreography stuff, I need to get back to that because I've been busy, I've kind of lost time to do choreography. But definitely when I do improv and stuff, I find different events around the world, and I kind of integrate it into, like, a story that I'm telling. I haven't done that recently, but it's still a big part of my inspiration to choreograph.
Yeah. Well, definitely keep going with it, because the clips that I saw online, I mean, your choreography is extremely powerful and beautiful, and it's absolutely something that you should pursue.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. So, Alexandra, as we come to the end of our conversation, again, you're only 15, but you've accomplished so many amazing things, and you're such a wonderful, warm person. What are your short and long-term goals, if you even know?
That's a hard question because, well, one, the dance world is always changing. There's always, like, different trends, there's different focuses and stuff. But I want to be happy. That's one main thing.
Yep, yep.
But I love to choreograph. That's definitely a path that I want to continue to explore. I love acting, and recently I've gotten some really great auditions. So doing that and keeping my options open. I know it's hard because as I go into grade 11 and 12, we need to try to choose, like, a career path and all this stuff. But I'm just going to keep dancing. I'm going to keep taking risks and going to workshops and finding different choreographers and taking classes and going to auditions and keeping an open mind and being positive and just keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully that'll pay off. I can't say that I have any goals.
I think that's a great answer.
Okay.
I recently heard a quote from You're going to think I'm crazy. Have you heard of the YouTube star or social media star, Glozell?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I love her.
Yes, she is the most hilarious, amazing person ever. I recently listened to an interview with her, and she's, you know, someone that really didn't become famous until later in life. And she's extremely, you know, has tons of confidence and is very self-assured. And she recently had a quote in her book that she just wrote saying that you shouldn't be asking kids what do they want to be when they grow up. You should be asking them, what do they want to be right now? And I feel like you just gave the perfect answer to that question, that you don't have to know what you want to be, you know, when you're 25. If you're passionate about what you're doing right now, then really nothing else matters and everything else will fall into place.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I know. Yeah, it's Glozell. I love you, girl. Well, Alexandra, this has been so much fun to talk to you. You are such a smart and talented young lady, and I cannot wait to see what the future holds for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And that's a wrap.
Want more of your favorite dance podcast? Then subscribe to The Bartender now on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play. New episodes premiere every Sunday on thebartender.tv and release on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play every Tuesday. The Bartender is produced by Dance Network, so check out dancenetwork.tv to stream amazing dance content. Thanks for listening. Happy dancing and happy drinking.